It's a couple of minutes after 11 o'clock. I'm Dory, and around this time we do a Gaza Corner. And it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, there's no way I would pass this up. When a concert is fundraising for a cause dear to us here who enjoy, you know, the kinds of issues that we discuss on Gaza Corner. And thanks to Irene Sazer of the Real Vocal String Quartet, she has embarked kind of on a new career a little bit, eh? You've become a promoter, and you've got a big concert that's going to benefit a organization doing incredible work in many countries in the world, but specifically in Syria and also with the externally displaced in Lebanon and in Jordan. That is Islamic Relief USA. Mm-hmm. But first, Irene, talk about your monthly series that you're always adapting a cause and raising like $1,000 every month for something that you think is important.
Yeah, it's the resistance. It's really my response to the election in November. Although this fundraiser at the Freight and Salvage on May 11th, I was watching coverage about Aleppo many months ago during the campaign, just feeling like I had to do something. But since the election, my response coming from my despair was to hold house concerts in my studio where I can seat over 40 people. I have a rich musical community of musicians in the Bay Area, and everybody's hungry to participate. So monthly, we've given money to Planned Parenthood and 350.org and the ACLU, and the Southern Poverty Law Center is coming up. And then this one at the Freight and Salvage is fundraising for Syrian humanitarian aid.
And how do people get on your list to learn more about your house concerts?
They can find me at irenesazer.com. We also have a
and Facebook. I should say that's S-A-Z-E-R.
Thank you. S-A-Z-E-R. That's right. And people can find me on Facebook personally. People can also find Carlton Street Studio Fundraising Concerts. That's a mouthful.
Say it again.
But Carlton Street Studio Fundraising Concerts. And that's my studio in Berkeley where we're doing the monthly concerts.
All right. Yeah. So you came up with this big idea, which I'm glad the Freight embraced. And talk
Me
about
too.
The bands that will be performing.
So, one is my group, which is Real Vocal String Quartet, and we have done some cultural ambassadorship work. We've traveled through the State Department and done some work that way. And we're just really interested in music of the world. So we're genre hopping. We've been doing that. That's part of our mission. We've been doing that since we started. Some of our musical friends are women who used to sing in the group Kitka, and they have a beautiful vocal trio called True Life Trio. Through Bridget, Leslie, and Julie, who are the members of True Life Trio, who are also a genre-hopping group. They do music from Eastern Europe and Greece and all kinds of stuff. I was able to meet Faisal Seydan, who's a Syrian percussionist who's going to join us on this show as well.
And he's been playing with Gary Hegedus for a long, long time, and Gary is in True Life Trio as well. He's the instrumental part of that ensemble. We'll get some Faisal on as well, because he's really special. He's actually born in Lebanon, but he grew up in Syria, and he came here with his parents to just have a chance to better his life. And he's been here for about 25 years, and he's really bettered our lives. He's a treasure in the Bay Area. But you've also got more groups.
Well, I just want to also mention this other wonderful musician who's joining us that night, and his name is Justin King, and he's an interesting guy. He's a young guitarist who is very percussive. I'm doing this on the table, on his guitar. So his style is really interesting. He also plays a lot of different styles on his guitar, But he has a whole other life as a war photojournalist and has done some of that work in Iraq and Afghanistan. So, and this is also something near and dear to his heart. So we're bringing him down from Oregon to join us.
Wow.
I'm really excited.
So let's get some music on from Faisal Zaidan, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to a representative from Islamic Relief USA on Gaza Corner on 91.7. Thank you. And that is the percussion work of Faisal Zaidan, and on Knoon, Samir Farah, the CD called Madar. Madar, explained on the back of the CD, is Arabic for the unseen force which binds two people through borders, time, and space. And Samir Faisal Zaidan is Syrian, lives in the Bay Area, and will be a big part of the benefit happening on May 11th at the Freight and Salvage that our guest Irene has put together. She is also... are you the founder of Real?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So that has been around a long time.
We have been. I was an original Turtle Island String Quartet person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to sing in that group, and that wasn't going to go. And it took me a lot of years to get a singing string quartet together. And we've been going at it. It's been over a dozen years now. Yeah.
Way to go. Okay, so May 11th, you can get tickets at thefreight.org. You can also, that's really the website to go to get the information.
That's right.
Just go to thefreight.org and hone in on May 11th, and you'll see everything there. And I want to bring in the representative from Islamic Relief USA, Jeetu Chowdhury, and hopefully he can hear us and he's here. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Jeetu, thank you so much. I think a lot of people probably are not familiar with Islamic Relief. Tell us about the work that is done by Islamic Relief, which is not just Islamic Relief. I mean, you're part of Islamic Relief USA, but there are chapters everywhere in the world, right?
Correct. Islamic Relief was set up originally in the UK, but the Islamic Relief USA was set up here in the US about 25 years ago, and we have over close to about 100 staff around the US in many different cities. We have branches and locations here in the U.S.
And you're involved, I think, with like 42 countries in the world. But we're focusing on Syria tonight. Can you talk about the work that's being done inside Syria as well as the externally displaced in countries like Lebanon and in Jordan?
So Islamic Relief has an ongoing operation and setups to help the people in Syria and around Syria since 2011, since the war broke out. We've helped over 9.5 million people through various programs, one of which I'll read. So there's been primarily sponsored through Islamic Relief USA, as well as other European partners that we have, European country partners. And these are food programs. We've done healthcare, bathroom, shower facilities, household supplies, clothes, education supplies, water sanitation projects, shelters, winter supplies, mattresses and blankets, baby items, and psychological support, as well as medicine and medical supplies. We have raised a large number of money for Syria. Some of it is in kind, and some is in cash, and that we've been distributing many locations of Syria, including Apello, and other cities of Syria.
But what I wonder is, you know, organizations like the United Nations has actually received a lot of criticism because in many instances they've not been able to deliver humanitarian aid to the besieged areas that were under rebel control and only really were able to deliver aid to places that the Assad regime allowed them to. And there's this terrible statistic where, and this is a year old, so I don't know the current statistic. This is like from June of last year. Something like 414 people died of starvation inside Syria. None of them in areas under government control, all of them in areas that were besieged by the government. And do you know how Islamic Relief is able to get humanitarian aid to the areas that are not under government control?
So in those particular circumstances, I'm not really, because I'm not the person in operation in that area of the country. Having said that, Islamic Relief has offices in those surrounding war-torn locations. At the same token, when something strikes and something does go bad, like 80% or 20% of one of their locations where it was hit by bombs, and Islamic Relief infrastructure also got damaged and war-torn and destroyed. How Islamic Relief does, Islamic Relief is quite frankly, although the name is Islamic and we do relief work, it is very neutral. It doesn't get into any politics. It does not get into taking any sides with any government or any individual sects or groups. We basically go out there to help people. And I think whether it's in the Middle East or in the United States or in Africa or in Asia, people around the world know Islamic Relief is quite a reputable organization. It's been rated by a Navigator at a 5-star rated. We win awards from USAID, from United Nations. We work with Red Cross. So at times we do work through partnerships, through churches. In the U.S., we work through some churches as partners. So I'm sure there's some politics involved about how we actually operate there. And honestly, I don't know exactly about the logistics and how it takes place, but we have been helping, as I said earlier, 9.3 million people have been helped in that region, in that country in particular. I hope that answers your question, because the specific details I couldn't
I do think it'll be... I think it'll be important for people interested in learning about the work you do to go to your website, which is, Islamic Relief USA is irusa.org, irusa.org. And it really explains a lot of the projects you're doing, which are remarkable, particularly where you're more free to be able to do your work, which is right next door in Lebanon and in Jordan. You're doing amazing work with the externally displaced refugees. So I encourage people to go to the concert on May 11th. See and listen to the best musicians in the Bay Area. Coming together for an important cause. And if you're not able to go to the website and contribute to an organization which is also one of the most transparent of humanitarian aid organizations. I know myself at G2 that I personally am uncomfortable contributing to like the Red Cross, because I feel a whole lot of their money doesn't go to the actual work they're doing. There's a lot of overhead, but that's not the case with Islamic Relief. I mean, I'm right about that, I believe, right?
Correct, yeah. So Islamic Relief is based on, the value that we carry. Although we are the organizers and the original founder were Muslims, but we have a strong ethics and a strong social responsibility towards our donors as well as towards the people in need. And Islamic Relief's overhead is around 11%, which is that we decide this 11%, every penny actually does go to the people who need the money. So I don't know about the Red Cross and others, but Islam, I know, is around 11% is our overhead cost.
Now that's actually a very good, very low percentage. And next year you've got your 25th anniversary, so congratulations on that. I assume you also have matching gift programs. Can people go online and see if their employer is listed, or how does someone even try to get their employer to join that list so that, money is doubled so people can actually make their contribution to Islamic Relief go further?
Correct. So if you go on our website, actually there's a link to how to help, also ways to help. And if you look down second button down, it says matching gift. So you can search your company name and that should be listed on that. If it's not, if you email any one of us or just say contact us and send us a message, we'll make sure. And we can approach your company to get that matching gift. And you're right. I mean, you may give $5, and if you actually go through that matching gift program, your money doubles and sometimes triples. Like a few months ago, Intel locally, they doubled or tripled the donations that the employees made. So that was very good. Many other companies have similar programs throughout the year, especially when they do well or towards the end of the year, and offer extra incentives for the employees to donate. It helps the company, it helps the individual. In addition, I mean, with Islamic Relief and other organizations, individuals can donate or participate in some voluntary activities where the employees, even though they may not give any hard cash, but the time they spend, the companies will match that $25 an hour for the voluntary work that they contribute to any charity or most charity organizations. And Islamic Relief is eligible for that program also.
Let me ask you, can anyone, you know, who wants to put on like a house concert or something to raise money for example, Islamic Relief, how do they go about doing that? Is it really as straightforward as going to your website, looking at a contact email and saying, I want to help out, I can probably raise a fair amount of money, I can put on a little concert in my living room, and, I mean, can that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are very happy to go out and reach out and really welcoming support from the community, whether the disasters are taking place in Syria or Lebanon or where, in any countries in the world. If we have an office, we'll be happy to help and engage with the community and get community participation. With regards to going to house events and programs, I'll be happy to facilitate that, and we'll be happy to go and present what it currently stands for. If anybody in your audience wants to hear a more specific presentation or learn more about Islamic Relief, they're welcome to contact me directly or go through our website and say contact us.
What's the way to contact you directly, Jeetu?
You can email me. My email is just jchowdhury@irusa.org. That's one way. Or if that's not clear, just go to our website and say contact the Bay Area, and it will eventually get to me within 2-3 hours.
That was jchowdhury@irusa.org.
Correct.
And what was the other thing I was about to say to you? Yeah, if people want to contribute, can they specify the project that they want? Like, we want this to go to your work in Syria, or you know, can they actually specify the project?
Yes, they can do that. So when somebody donates, we, in our donation packages, you can specify in what project or what country you want to spend your money. And we actually make sure, and we're very, very diligent on that, and we make sure we follow through that. It's a government requirement, it's a requirement internally, and even all our staff will follow through with that kind of requirement and we implement that. However, at the same time, if somebody wants to donate on a general fund, that can also be done. And then when some disaster strikes in some countries or some immediate need arises, we can spend from the general fund. So we have both options. You can offer it generally, or you can say, I want to spend this money in Syria or in Sudan or Ethiopia, whichever country you decide to spend in, or Nigeria, Pakistan. You know, we are, as I said, and as you mentioned earlier, we have 42 countries that we work in. And not to forget, in our home country, United States, we do many projects in the U.S. Locally, we do food shelters. We do, when people are displaced, we help them. When disaster strikes, like in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when Katrina struck, I was there for 2 weeks myself. You know, feeding people, finding shelters, clothing them, blankets. When the water disaster happened in Maine, you know, Islam Relief was there giving out water. So this is a general fund we can pull it from.
Right. And the name Islamic Relief doesn't imply you, obviously you just explained, it doesn't imply that you're concentrating only on, you know, Islamic populations. That has nothing to do with it. I mean, I think it was founded by, you know, Islamic people, but your mission is to help anybody in need.
Absolutely, 100%. Even our staff that we have in the U.S. and around the world, they're a mixture. There are Muslims there, there are Christians are there, there are people of faith, there are people of no faith, there are Jewish people are in our organization, you know, from junior level to management to senior managers. So, you know, if you go to Africa, you will see a bunch of Christian people. You see people with no faith. If you look in the U.S. operation, there are people who are Muslim, there are Christian people, there are Jewish people in our organization. So we don't really go after, it's not a faith, it was founded on a faith, but it's not. We don't donate to
right.
Muslims, for example, or just to Christians. As I said earlier in my discussion, a lot of our partners are churches, you know, and we work hand in hand with them.
Let me ask you one final question, Jeetu, and we'll get to some music. I looked on your website. I know nothing about this, but I just saw this thing that says Cycle for Refugees May 6th in the Bay Area. What's that about?
Sorry, say that again?
On your website, I see Cycle for Refugees, Washington, D.C., April 29th, San Francisco, May 6th.
Oh, I think they're having a cycling program where people will cycle, like get sponsorships, and we'll donate those money raised towards those refugee programs. I'm not, as I said, we have so many projects running in parallel, and I'm really not aware of exactly what the details of this. However, if anybody interested in joining this program or any other program or want to learn more about the program, I'd be happy to facilitate that.
All right. Well, thank you for staying up late with us and being an excellent resource of information about the Islamic Relief USA work, both inside Syria and with the externally displaced Syrians. So thank you so much, and we'll all look forward to the event on May 11th at the Freight and Salvage. Hopefully we can raise a lot, but hopefully the Bay Area community can raise a lot of money for Islamic Relief. You're doing remarkable and important work, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for hosting us.
Okay. All right. Irene, big smile
Lori,
on your face.
Thank you very much for taking this time.
Well, you're welcome. Let's get some more music on from Faisal, who, you have so many musicians performing, but he is Syrian.
That's right.
And we should get some Faisal on.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming in. I'm grateful that you came as well. And hopefully the Freight and Salvage is packed on May 11th.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Go
Please join us.
At thefreight.org. You can get all the information. And this is from that same CD from Faisal Zaidan. The album is called Madar.
Thank you.
That is the amazing Gary Hegedus. Gary's done a lot of Tangents parties and plays with so many different groups in the Bay Area. And this is part of a True Life Trio. It's the opening track to the album, and it's just Gary. He's got literally like 1,000 stringed instruments. If you ever have the chance to walk into his home, it's like a museum. And this is, I think, one of his more recent toys. It's called the Tarhu, T-A-R-H-U, Tarhu. And that's what he was playing right there, Gary Hegedus. Elsewhere on this album is Faisal Zaidan, the percussionist we featured on a Gaza Corner tonight. And, of course, a True Life Trio with Gary will be part of the May 11th important benefit for Islamic Relief USA, doing such critical work on behalf of both internally and externally displaced Syrians. And that is, again, May 11th. You can go to thefreight.org. And the other acts that will be performing, of course, Irene's group. Irene was here during Gaza Corner. She is the one, the visionary to put on this important event. And her group is the Real Vocal String Quartet. Also, Justin King will be performing. I mentioned True Life. And, of course, Faisal Zaidan. All that May 11th at the Freight and Salvage. And before True Life Trio, we heard from a Syrian singer by the name of Gaida, G-A-I-D-A. Indulgence was the track from Levantine Indulgence. It featured the Santor work of Amir El-Safar, originally from Iraq and lives in the States. And we began with Faisal Zaidan from Madar, and all of that here on 91.7.